Matthew 12. We have already looked at the verses in this chapter, but I mentioned to you that we would possibly come back and look at certain portions of this chapter, and that's what I'd like to do this morning. Verse 42 will be our text. Matthew 12, verse 42. It says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." A greater than Solomon is here. Solomon is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the scripture, Solomon is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this queen of the south, we just heard our brother read that account, the queen of Sheba, she is a picture of a sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how it says that she came from the uttermost part of the earth. It doesn't say she came from Sheba. She was the queen of Sheba. But it doesn't say she came from Sheba. It says the uttermost part of the earth. Do you know where Hebrews 7 says our Lord is able to save to? The uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost. What I want to do is I want to look at her story, and I want to see this comparison. I want us to give a spiritual picture right along with the physical picture. As we go through it, let's immediately see Christ and the relationship of one of his own sinners coming to him, right along with Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. The message of today's message is, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. While people are looking at everything, here's the message of today's message. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your all on the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see this here in the story of this queen coming to Solomon. That story is in 1 Kings 10, but I want us to see some things about Solomon first. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings 3, verse 5 says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" The Lord said, "Ask of me what you would like for me to give to you." Look at verse 9. Solomon said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart," a hearing heart, "to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hath asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee, which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. That's a picture of Christ, isn't it? The Lord said, none will compare to you. No one will compare to you. You will be the greatest in every way, shape, and form. The wisest, the most approachable. And if you're a sinner in need of mercy, that's a blessing. The most understanding. The richest. The most honorable. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart. He gave him a giving heart, a generous heart. Largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. What this tells us is Solomon was in need of nothing. He needed no man's counsel. He needed no man's riches. He was the counselor. He was the provider. He was the king. And that's Jesus Christ. But in a way that is infinitely greater than Solomon. Infinitely greater. And every sinner that comes to Jesus Christ is going to see that to be the case. It's not what I'm going to do for him. It's what he's going to do for me. Every sinner who truly sees Christ is going to see that. It's not what I'm going to do for him. It's what he's going to do for me. And that's what the Queen of Sheba realized when she came to Solomon. Turn with me now to 1 Kings 10. Verse 1, it says, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones." She heard of him. She heard of his greatness. And she came to him bringing things that I'm sure she thought he needed. May God teach us something today. She came to him bringing things that I'm sure she thought he needed. Things that she thought would be pleasing to him. That's what men and women naturally do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man comes bringing offerings of his own. These are the things I have attained. These are the things that I have. He comes bringing those things, thinking God needs them. A sinner who truly comes to Christ is going to soon realize the same thing the Queen of Sheba realized. Look with me at verse 21. 1 Kings 10, verse 21. It says, now just listen to this. It says, "All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold." And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. All of them. Look at verse 27. I love this. It says, "And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones." The silver was just piled up everywhere like rocks. Just piles of silver. And this queen of Sheba brought her salt and pepper. You know, she had her spices, had some things that she thought would, you know, let's make this savory for him. Let's bring something that will be savory to him. And it says in verse 2, she brought much gold. And here's the thing about it. I'm sure to her it was much gold, but it wasn't to Solomon. And she immediately realized that. Look at verse 4. "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. When a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and truly sees Christ, ask the Lord, seriously, ask the Lord to open your eyes to see Christ today. If you've seen him before, say, 'Lord, would you let me see you again?' If you don't know if you've ever seen him before, ask, 'Lord, would you reveal yourself to me today?'" Ask him that. Ask him that. Because when a sinner truly, truly sees Christ, I tell you what happens. It slays the sinner. It slays that sinner. When she saw Saul, she brought all her things, but when she saw Saul, she said, "I'd heard of it. But she said, I didn't believe it until I came and saw it with my own two eyes." And she said, "The half wasn't told me." There was no more spirit in her. It slayed her. This is the honest truth. If a sinner has never been slain, that sinner has never seen Christ. That's just the honest truth. If a sinner, if somebody says, "What does that mean?" Ask the Lord. "Lord, what does that mean?" If a sinner has never been slain, that sinner has never seen Christ. A sinner who truly sees Christ, it will slay that sinner. It'll slay that sinner. That haughty, and you don't even know you have it until God reveals it to me, to us. But that haughty, arrogant, self-righteous, self-sufficient sinner who thinks he or she has something to offer God, that will go away. That will go away. Those who think they have something worthy, those who think they have something of value. Now, he'll be pleased with this. This will be valuable in his eyes. That will go away. When Moses saw him, he hit the dust. The scripture says Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. And this was Moses. Do you see that much in religion anymore? Do you see people just cowering down, afraid to look upon God? Really? When Isaiah, or let me back up, Joshua, when Joshua saw him, Joshua, the man who led God's people into the promised land, when Joshua saw him, he hit the dust. A man named Manoah, when Manoah saw him, he and his wife, Manoah hit the dust. He said, "We've seen God's holiness and he's going to kill us." Isaiah, if you read the book of Isaiah, those first five chapters, he spends all of his time saying, "Woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you." But the moment he saw Christ, he cried, "Woe unto me. I am undone. I'm the man of unclean lips." The first time Peter saw him, he hit the dust. And this is what Peter cried. He said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." The first time Paul saw him on the road to Damascus, he hit the dust. It knocked him off of his horse into the dust. When John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he hit the dust. He fell at his feet as a dead man. Every sinner who truly sees Christ will do the same thing. Every sinner. Somebody says, "Well, I don't want to do that." Well, thank God it's not up to us. If God says, "Look at me," we will and we will. Every sinner will be emptied. Every sinner will be broken. We just looked at the parable of the sower, ground made ready. That will happen so that every sinner can be filled with the wisdom of the word of truth, nourished back up through the provision of this all-sufficient King. That's what happens when salvation comes to sinners. They see the all-sufficient Christ. That's what happens. They hear of the all-sufficient Christ, and they are filled with the knowledge of the all-sufficient Christ, the King who needs nothing and provides everything. If we want to get the comparison here, here's the summary. This King needs nothing and provides everything. Look again at chapter 4, 1 Kings 4, look at verse 22. First Kings 4, verse 22, it says, "And Solomon's provisions for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep beside harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl." He made this table and said, "Anybody who wants to come and dine, come and dine." Verse 24 says, "For he had dominion over all the region on this side the river from Tiphzah even to Azah, over all the kings on this side the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon." I love this. Verse 26 says, "And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table. Every man in his month, they lacked nothing." They lacked nothing. That's what men and women see when they come to Christ. That's what men and women see when salvation comes. This Queen of Sheba perfectly pictures that. Go back to 1 Kings 10. Verse 1 says, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon," heard of the fame of Solomon, and that's how it starts. When the work of salvation is first made known to a sinner, it starts with that sinner hearing that it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. The fame of Christ. The fame of Christ. All attention on Him. All eyes on Him. He's our object. He's our all. Verse 1 says, "When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord." Now this is important. When God's people start to really hear the truth concerning Christ, what they hear is, this is what they start to get a hold of, this is what they start to really understand, the truth concerning His name. What is His name? What is the truth concerning His name? Matthew 1:21 says, "Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Job said, "I heard of You with the hearing of my ears," but he said, "Now my eyes see You." What did he see? He saw the Savior of sinners. And he said, "I abhor myself. You're my only hope. You're the Savior of sinners. I'm not. He is. Only He is." If a sinner ever sees Christ, he will not see a cooperative Savior. He'll see the Savior if he ever sees Christ. He won't see someone who is trying to make salvation possible. He will see the Savior. Based on what he sees, he will not say, "I need to help Him save me." Not if he truly sees Christ in all of His greatness, in all of His riches and power and wisdom and might. He will not say, "He needs me. He needs me to help Him." He won't say that. He'll say, "That's the only Savior that there is. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." And the reason is because every other name given among men is just a sinful man. Just a sinful man before God. I'm a sinner before God. That's all that I am. I'm a sinner before God. That's what we all are. We are sinners before God. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people hadn't heard that. That's what we are. We're sinners before God. And every time a sinner sees the truth of God and sees His holiness and sees this holy judge, with that, the sinner will see the truth of himself. And he will see his sin against this God and the judgment that must come to him. He'll see the truth of God's law. He'll see the truth of God's justice. And every time, it will produce hard questions within that sinner. Every time. Right here in 1 Kings 10, the end of verse 1 says, "When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to him with hard questions." Every sinner does. Hard questions. Questions like this: how can a sinner like me be just with God? That means, how can a sinner like me be justified before God? That means, how can a sinner like me be seen in God's eyes as being good and right and acceptable? How is that possible? If God must punish sin, how can God be holy and right and justified in forgiving me and setting me free? How? If God knows everything, if He knows the end from the beginning, if nothing is hid from Him, how can He remember my sins no more? How? This is the gospel. Verse 1 right here says, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Now look at verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told him her not. Solomon told her. Solomon revealed to her. He was the revelation. He was the revealer and he was the revelation. He had the answer. He was the answer. That's what a sinner will find who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the answer. He is the answer. How can a sinner be justified before God? How? Romans 3:24 says, freely. That's how. Freely, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How? That's how. What does that mean? That means God the Father set Him forth to be a bloody victim sacrifice. To pay the debt of the sin of His people, to put that sin away forever. And it's gone. It's gone. How can God remember my sin no more? Because it's not there. In that blood, it's gone. It's gone. That's how He can be holy and right and justified and saying, you're free to go. A sinner who says, how? The moment he sees Christ, he'll say, oh, that's how. He is how. He's the answer. He's the remedy. He's the Redeemer. He's my salvation. He's my salvation. It's not me, it's Christ. And I'm done, so I want to emphasize this. It's not me, it's Christ. And it's not you, it's Christ. And it's not morality, it's Christ. But I'm so immoral. Well, it's not morality, it's Christ. And it's not the law, but I break the law all the time. Well, it's not the law, it's Christ. It's Christ, it's Christ. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop looking to the flesh and start looking to Christ. Let's stop coming to the flesh and start coming to Christ. The Queen of Sheba did. And in this type, in this picture, God gave her eyes to see and she saw. And this is what she said in closing, verse 4. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made He thee king to do judgment and justice. Infinitely greater can be said about the greater than Solomon. Because God loved His people, He made Christ to be their king. Christ to be their wisdom, Christ to be their righteousness, Christ to be their sanctification, Christ to be their redemption. Christ is our provider. Christ is our protector. Christ is our Savior. He is our Savior. And to that, all of God's people cry, all hail the King. All hail the King of kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him, look to Him, bow to Him, worship Him.